Greetings and welcome to another edition of the FPL Dilemma Front Addict, the official podcast of the Facebooked fantasy-based group Football Addicts. And yes, I have a guest. How's that? An elusive guest. Very happy about that. So welcome to the show, Jamie Bakewell, aka Bakes. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. Thanks for having me on, Will.
No worries.
I'd like to say that I'm pretty much totally underqualified to be here, but I'm very happy and excited to be supporting you. It's been a very tough FPL competition to date, so hopefully I can help you work through what's been a difficult start for everyone.
Yeah, it has been difficult. I have to agree. My start hasn't been great, hasn't been good either. How have you fared in the first few weeks, Bakes?
Mate, I'm going okay in my leagues, but you know I'm languishing in I'm 300,000 or 400,000 overall. I suppose that's just an indication that everyone's kind of struggling. I've got the funny thing is I've got about 4 million in the bank. I can't decide who to buy, so I'm just sort of sitting back, trying to work out what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. There seems to be a lot of options this year in all the positions, and I'm not faring particularly well myself. I'm ranked 250K, I think, but even 300,000, 400,000 is still pretty good. I mean, I know really experienced players that are languishing in the millions and they're struggling to get in the top million. So I think you're not doing too bad. I think in every season there's strange things happening, and probably this season there's been more stranger things than usual. So yeah, I can certainly empathise with you there in terms of your concerns of your team. But hopefully this pod and some of the stuff we can talk about can get you through, and those that are listening get you guys through as well. All right, so let's. Who do you support? Do you support a particular team?
Mate, I support Liverpool.
Oh, very
so
good.
Yeah. Interesting days. Obviously, rumours just circulating recently with
Rodgers.
Possibly a change of manager.
Yeah.
Ancelotti's been mentioned and Klopp's been mentioned.
Yeah, Klopp. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly. I was pretty excited at the start of the season, but I actually went up to Brisbane to see them play with some guys from the office. But yeah, just not panning out. I think losing Henderson doesn't help.
No, he's pretty influential. Yeah, yeah.
Change of coach could be the go.
Yeah, I think Benteke's. I was just reading. Benteke's definitely not playing this weekend, and Rodgers doesn't have a time frame on his return.
Oh really?
So that's okay. That was at the press conference just about an hour ago.
Okay. I noticed he went from yellow to orange on the FPL side.
Yeah.
I mean he scored a ripper, didn't he?
Yeah.
Last week, but he's just not getting the crosses, onto his head. I think he's the type of guy who just wants to be running forward into crosses, and they're not that kind of team. I think, Coutinho likes to cut in and shoot from distance. And I think, guys like Gomez have been great at the back, but, not really an offensive threat. I think that's why Moreno's been brought into the team. And, just struggling to get the right lineup, I think.
Yeah, it's been a bit funny with them at the start of the season. Cool. Let's get into it. So the first part one of the podcast, we've got, he's just scored a sick round and scored a shedload of points, should you bring him in or not? So we'll just look at the four main positions and we'll go through each of the players. And just looking at which players that we think you should get in and which guys you might not think you shouldn't get in. Let's look at goalkeepers. So the three keepers that scored the points of the last round with Tim Howard, 7 points, Lloris, 7 points, and Butland, 7 points with his jammy assist. So look at Tim Howard. I still don't trust Everton's defence. They have pretty bad fixtures as well. Who have they got? Their fixtures don't improve.
Fixtures are not great at all. I mean, they've got, West Brom away, Liverpool home, Manchester home, Arsenal away, then it might free up from there. But, even West Brom under Poulos is a pretty hard sort of nut to crack.
I can see. I can see West Brom nicking a goal there.
Yeah. So I agree. I mean, I like, you know, I like Everton. They've been bright in general. But, yeah, I agree. I'm holding off on Everton for about the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think the underlying defensive stats aren't particularly good. The last six matches, they are ranked 6th in terms of shots conceded in the box.
Really?
So, yeah, so they've probably been a little bit lucky, I think. They've only conceded 7 big chances, but so they're probably, yeah, I don't know. I don't trust them defensively. Martinez, I mean, I think that win against Chelsea, if Naismith didn't come on, I don't think Everton would have won. They're definitely a sort of Jekyll and Hyde type situation where they're beating big teams, but they're not beating the lesser teams. But maybe that's a good thing because they're playing like teams that are better than, I don't know. But yeah, I agree. I'd say no for him.
Isn't Stones injured as well?
I think so. I have heard that.
Yeah. So he's been a key player for them. And
yeah, if he's not there, then they'll struggle. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to Lloris. Tottenham. Tottenham defence. I think their fixtures go a bit wayward now as well.
They've got a really tough one this week.
Yeah. Yeah. City, Swansea, Liverpool. No.
Yeah.
No for me. Let's move on to Butland. I have Butland in my team and I didn't play him this week. I played.
Me too.
Yeah. Who did you play instead?
I played McCarthy. I'm having
so did I.
Awful situation yeah. where my attackers are playing my defenders and I'm
That's
trying
exactly
to
what I did, yeah.
double pick that things instead of sort of mitigating the risk and
yeah.
just looking at each position in general. I'm, you know, you have this situation where one of your key strikers is coming up against the goalkeeper and you want to try pick the result instead of looking at each position in itself. And I think we probably did the same thing.
We did. I thought McCarthy was a good shout for clean sheet there, and he was. The goal that he conceded was, I think he went through his legs. It was
big. Yeah.
And I watched the game and like they were conceding shot after shot and Tottenham should have won by a few, but I'm thinking, oh cool, so I think it's like 60 minutes, Carl, awesome clean sheet here, and then that new Korean signing scored. So and it looks like, and I was dirty because I was thinking there still was a slight chance Julian Cibarroni might have got the jersey back because he was fit. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, and he might get the jersey back. But he didn't. McCarthy started. Now, it turns out that McCarthy is going to lose the spot this week to Sperone. Right. Because if Sperone didn't play, then would have got Butland's points off the bench. Now, yeah, so that was a bit unlucky. But in terms of Butland, if you don't have any Stoke defence, don't get them in. Simple. They just suck defensively. They're conceding shots inside the box.
They're terrible.
They're conceding... They are ranked first for big chances conceded, clear cut chances. They're not looking good. I mean, there's a few attacking assets I would consider bringing in, but don't get any Swansea defense, Stoke defense. And I've got Mignesa and Butland. So I'm in a world of hurt there at the moment, but I'll sort that out later.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Let's move on.
Agreed.
Two defenders. So we've got. We'll look at top five. So we've got Zuma. Daniels from Bournemouth. What's his first name? Charlie Daniels. Russell Martin. Unbelievable. Fernandes from Swansea and Simon Francis from Bournemouth. All right. Kurt Zuma. I think he's looking more and more nailed on at 5.4. He's a yes from me.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, listen, I don't know if this is right or not, but I don't get too excited with points scored from goals with defenders. I think if you look at defenders, you know, last year, guys like, you know, Terry and Skirtle who pop up and score a goal, they don't seem to score more than kind of 4, 5 or 6 in a year.
Mm.
So I know he's had a massive game week, he's got a goal, he's got the bonus points, but really you want to pick, you want to access good team defences and you want to look at people who are well-priced, and Zuma's well-priced, and I agree. I think he's becoming an important player for Chelsea. He's got pace.
He's got pace. That's the main thing, isn't it? Yeah. He's
you got know, Terry and Kale seem to be fighting out for the other position.
Looks like it. Which is surprising. I think at the start of the season, you wouldn't have picked that.
Yeah, so 5.4. I mean, the only thing that counts against him would be that Begovic is 5.
It's cheaper.
And he's a keeper. So he gives you sort of a cheaper access. But, you know, doubling up's an option as well, given they've got fantastic features, fixtures.
That's right.
Going forward.
And I think the attack... Oh, it's not too much of a minefield now that Costa's out. I was going to say Costa, Hazard and Pedro share the points, but now Costa's out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like Zuma. If you haven't got Chelsea defence and you've got no, you know, the rest of your team's pretty good, then I'd get him in. All right, let's look at, what's his name? His name again? Charlie Daniels. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's now alone. Has he played every game week? I don't think he has.
I actually don't know who he is.
He's just I've seen the word name Daniels before, but Charlie Daniels, probably not. I'm sure you've got more pressing transfers to do, and if you're going to get any defenders from Bournemouth, it'd be Simon Francis for his attacking threat and bonus.
Absolutely. I mean, he's got the points this week because of the clean sheet, but he's really done not much until that point. He's had 3 games and a half game, then he skipped a game and come in and got a clean. So and picked up the bonus.
He got the bonus. Yeah. So what did Francis get? Simon got 2 bonus. All right, cool. But yeah, that Francis got the attacking threat. He sort of overlaps his winger, and he's always in there. He's creating a lot of chances. He's pretty creative. So yeah, I'd probably just get Francis instead of Daniels. All right, absolutely. The legendary Russell Martin. I have a friend who's playing the Real Dream Team virtual sports game, and he has Russell Martin. He had him from the start, just picked him randomly.
Oh, what a freak.
Yeah, and he's scored 3 goals, which is like, he's played like 96 games for Norwich, and he scored 3 goals prior to this season. And he's just scored 3 goals. Would you get him in? I don't know. Probably not.
Even if he doesn't score another goal for the entire season, he's had a cracking season.
So yeah, he has, yeah.
That to me tells me that he's probably topped out.
Mm. I mean, like, their fixtures aren't too bad, but I'd probably prefer a Watford defender or Simon Francis if you don't have him, or even splash an extra 0.5 for a West Brom defender.
Yeah,
with that cash.
I agree. I think in defence, you've either got to look at clean sheets or someone who can provide an assist.
Yeah, you can't rely on goals.
It's off goals.
Absurd. Yep. Cool. So that's a no. Let's move on to Fernandes. Swansea defence. This is a pretty interesting one. I mean, it looks like, what did they? They got the clean sheet. That one. Oh, was that a nil all draw?
Nil all draw with Everton.
That's right.
He's picked up the clean sheet there. I think Swansea defence is good. I just think that at 5 million, you've got Williams and Norton there. That. I think Norton offers more of an assist kind of option, and Williams seems to pick up bonus points, especially under the new sort of bonus point system. I think Williams is probably a better bet.
Yeah. Swansea have looked good. Last season, I didn't trust them at the start of the season. Their numbers they produced last season really, really deceptive. I think where they finish on the table was deceptive in terms of their true performance. But this season, the numbers have been really good. And I think their attack has probably slightly dropped off the past few games, but it seems like their defence has still seemed pretty resolute.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just Swansea, Southampton away. There's a good chance they'll concede. Tottenham at home. Then they've got Stoke at home, Aston Villa away. That's a tentative yes for me. I think there's better options at 5 elsewhere. Just you've got West Brom defenders at 5. You've got Johnny Evans at 4.8. I think they're probably better options than.
I think so. West Brom's got a better draw.
Their fixtures are pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, by the same token, I mean Swansea probably potentially have 3 clean sheets in the next 6. If you look at it, I mean, Stoke, Aston Villa, Norwich. I could see 3 clean sheets there. if you're going to pick Swanson, I just think that the other two guys at the same price are just better value.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, with Stoke, Astonville, Norwich. Yeah, there's three potential clean sheets there. Yeah, they might be a bit under the radar, I think, a Swansea defender now. I mean, there's not a great deal to talk about it. All right, cool. And that leaves us with Simon Francis. He's a big yes. I mean, you should probably already have him. So I think have you got him?
I don't have him. I wish I did. He's a great player.
He's a goodie. I think, and he's underpriced. He should be five with the amount of creativity he boasts.
Yeah, he's already provided two assists, and he's jagged a clean sheet against Sunderland.
And they don't look defensively good at all. But now I think their fixtures are turning. Am I right? That thing. Oh no, they're not that great. Stoke away, Watford at home. Then they've got a couple of stinkers. So not that great. But he as an FPL defender, he's underpriced.
Yeah, as a fourth or fifth guy on the bench, I think at 4.5. The ability to offer up, if you have to play him, is a chance, even if he concedes a goal, to get that assist.
Two assists in six games is good.
Yeah, exactly.
For a promoted
defense. Then he's got the clean sheet, and he's got 2 points for the clean sheet. So, he's a bit of dimension to him.
Yeah, he racks up. I think the bonus, the main stats are clearances, blocks, intercepts and tackles. Yeah. And I haven't got the stats on hand, but I'd imagine he would be as a. I think the fullbacks are racking up the bonus as well this season. So look like he will be a beneficiary of that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, midfielders. This is where it gets a bit more interesting. So 11 points, Riyad Mahrez. So obvious, yes, he's owned by. 50% of the game, but 50.2% of the game. If you don't have him and he does well, you're buggered.
Well, we're sort of getting into that territory of everyone has his player, should I get him in, really? I mean,
that's right.
If you don't have Mahrez by now, I think you're probably coming about 3 millionth FPL. I mean, the guy's
he's a freak.
He's having a fantastic season, isn't he? Every single game he's got double figures, except for the game where he only played half against Bournemouth. He's scoring, he's assisting, he's got, he's equal third in assists, he's got two penalties, he's on pens, so he's doing penalties.
Yeah, he's got off his Joe.
He's scored two game-winning goals.
And no one knew that. At the start of the season, everyone assumed Joe was going to start and he was on penalties, and then Ranieri's come in and he's demoted him to the bench. And I had him in the first game week. I'm thinking, oh, beauty, he scored a goal, sweet. And the next minute they get a penalty. I'm thinking, there's no way Mahrez will get the penalties. Like Vardy will get it or someone. And there he is. He steps up and thinking, oh, you beauty, what a just awesome. So
and he slots them too. Like they're pretty good penalties.
He's a good player. He was good last season. I remember last season because he was in and out of the team and his stats were good. Like he was taking three or four shots a game, but he just wasn't getting much game time. And yeah, he just looks really good. In every game, he almost does the same thing. Like he feints to shoot, and then he feints onto his left foot or his right foot. I can't remember. And he scores these goals. I think it was the game against Astonville when he feinted to shoot, and he dummied and he sold like three players or something. And the players just fell over themselves. It was incredible. But he does the same thing every time, and he fills the opposition defenders every time. He's a beauty to watch. So yeah,
what I like about him, Will, is the fact that he's just central to everything going on.
Yeah.
At Leicester, like he's you look at the other people, the other players in that price range, and particularly like the Crystal Palace guys. You got Kabay, Punchin, Sacco, Bolasie. They're all in that sort of price range, but they kind of all share it around.
To my feel,
he really is the man.
Mm.
He's got a great supporting cast. Vardy just works so hard.
Yeah, he's Drink a machine.
Water, Paul Brighton. But he is the man. And, sort of going to that next segment, should I get him in? Have I missed a boat? But at 6.4, who else are you going to pick? Like, he's still great value. I can see this guy being worth eight.
Yeah, it's funny. Season. You think the people that don't have him will be... There'll be some that'll be like, oh, I'm too stubborn to get him because he come in at 5.5. I'm not going to get him because there's a good chance he'll regress. But I don't think these numbers suggest that he won't regress because he's taking like 5 shots a game.
Oh, yeah.
Players that regress take like 2 shots a game, score a couple of goals, and then, you know, like pay it. I think he'll regress eventually.
Yeah, Callum Wilson, he scored like
he's
3 goals from 4 shots.
Yeah, he's another one. Cool, so let's move on. Got Hazard. He's a yes from me. Be careful. I mean, his numbers haven't been as good as last season, but he's still a yes. He's a machine.
I think he's going to come good. I mean, the goal was pretty arsey. Like, it was...
I turned it off by then. I cracked it because it just... What happened? I knew Sanchez. I think Sanchez missed that... He missed that sitter, I think, and I turned
Sanchez,
it off.
Yeah, Sanchez, missed an open.
Yeah, it was just... I'm so fed up with him. And
Hazard's basically hit, I think, Callum Chambers in the back, and they got this massive ricochet, and he's been given the goal.
I don't know
he's
how that's possible. Yeah,
got the goal, but it clearly would have missed. So he was pretty lucky.
Yeah. So Chelsea's fixtures turn as well, and you know, according to the eye, it looks like they're turning and gaining some momentum. They had a good win against Walsall midweek, 2-0 result against Arsenal's. Not to be scoffed at, even albeit it was against a 9-man Arsenal that had lost, you know, all, you know, a lot of the dynamic once what's his name, the centre back, got sent off.
Gabriel.
Yeah. Once he got sent off, the whole dynamic of the game changed.
Yeah, I think Hazard. Listen, he's a yes from me too. It's just whether you're going to take him or Pedro for me.
Yeah, I think if you've got Pedro already, you're not going to get Hazard in.
Yeah.
And I've got Pedro, so I'm not getting him in. All right, De Bruyne, however you pronounce it. He going on to one of our segments later on, he's a differential. And it looks like reports earlier today have come out from gold.com suggesting that Silva is out.
Yeah.
I'm taking that with a pinch of salt. I'm going to wait. The press conference from Pellegrini is in about half an hour. And hopefully we get something a bit more concrete with David Silva. But if Silva's out, and you've got a free transfer, or even for a hit, if you think it's worth it, De Bruyne is worth bringing in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm facing that problem. I'm sitting on Silva. He's missed a couple of games now. It's hurting me.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's really annoying.
I mean, you know, he's probably one of my favourite players, Silva, as well.
Yeah, he's a magician.
But this guy's banging down the door. He's only been selected by 3.5%. You know, I'm facing the same thing. So
he's a monster differential.
Yeah. Monsters. Yeah, I agree. So, I wish I knew how serious the injury was. Like, you know, calves can be tricky. So.
Yeah, true.
Let's hope he's okay. But
yeah, I've spent. I had two free transfers, and I've spent them already.
Yeah.
So if I and I shouldn't have. I spent my two free yesterday because I thought I was going to be busy today, but I'm not. So I'm a little bit dirty that I've already spent them. I couldn't hold my cards and wait till I had more concrete info on Silva. But yeah, if Silva isn't fit, I'm not going to trade him out for a hit. I'll just hold him, I think, and yeah, just try and be patient. All right, so let's move on to our fifth one, Sadio Mane. Pretty interesting. Really, he's still totally under the radar at 4.1%. He's a machine of a player.
He's so good.
He's a machine. He's so good. He's a machine of a player, and people. He's been up and down. Like if you look at his history of transfers in and out. It's been on a. It looks like the majority of the time players have been getting rid of him because he was an interesting player. He came in at 8 million. That's a really funny price for a player like that at a team like Southampton. But you know, everyone's been getting rid of him because Southampton. You know, the narrative at the start of the season was that they looked bad, but they weren't performing that badly, and then they've sort of turned a corner, and he's getting all these assists.
Yeah, I agree. He did. I don't know if he caught the game, but he. It was the Mane Pele act, really. I mean, Pele was up against Man United, who were kind of short in the back. I mean, you know, in terms of like Daley Blind, he's playing centre back. He's not a big guy.
No, he's
Pelé,
not.
Pelé had about a foot on him.
Yeah.
And knocked two headers in. Beautifully delivered by Mane. Mane is a beast.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's such a good player.
I think the thing was he was priced at eight, which is I agree. It was kind of, you know, if he was at 7.5, he'd jump on him.
Yeah.
Had he done enough to be priced at eight? Yeah, I think, and that's why I think you're seeing the swings and roundabouts. Like people were sort of prepared to go eight as long as he paid off. He didn't initially pay off. Now he's sort of coming good. Do you jump on him or do you let him go? What are the fixtures like? I think
they're mixed.
Mixed, yeah. So that sort of sums up Mane, doesn't it?
It's just in a nutshell, he's really really mixed. I think you cough up the cash and you probably spend extra money on players with more potential, I guess. Pelé, I would say get in. I think he's just priced right. But I guess I'd say yes for Pelé because there's the pool of strikers isn't as vast as last season, whereas in midfield there's just so many options. And I just think you could probably get better value elsewhere.
Man, I agree on Pelé. I think that at that price, there's not too many. You know, Benteke's injured now. Lukaku's got terrible fixtures.
He's done nothing
coming up. You know, Gomez has good start. He looks like good value. But you know, it's been a couple games since Swansea are in a bit of a difficult sort of patch. But we'll come out of it with their fixtures. And Son, I mean, he's the other option at eight. He's he looks great, but again, they've got sort of mixed features coming up. You'd probably want to see him a few more times before he settled on Son. So I agree, Pelé. He's got mixed features, but you know, he's the sort of guy that can score in clumps. You remember last year he went on that tear
at the start.
You know, he had about six or seven games where he was just scoring every game.
Yeah.
I think with Pelé as well, I'm not sure that you're going to get the assists and that busyness. He's a pure finisher, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a finisher. As a player, I just don't. He just frustrates me so much.
Yeah,
like he takes so many shots. Like he's like the best in terms of shot volume. Like he's a Stato, his fella's dream, but he just looks like such a donkey and. In the box, it's so frustrating. But he's going to score goals because he has like a million shots a game. Like
He's a good-looking donkey, isn't he?
He's a very attractive man. He love his hair. He must spend like a good couple of hours.
But he's worth getting in on a tear, you know?
I think so,
If they've got good fixtures, he's a finisher. He's got a great... got a good header on him.
Yeah.
You know, and you can have these mismatches like, you know, with Daley Blind trying to match up on him.
That's right, yeah. Cool. What about this fella? Marshall.
Marshall.
What about this? Martial, the French.
Martial.
Yeah.
Oh, holler for a Martial. Mate, 530,000 transfers in this week. He's got a 0.3.
All right. Yeah, within the first 3 or 4 days, he can't go up anymore this week.
Well, I mean, and I think that picking the forward line's been the hardest thing about FPL. I mean, if you look at the points are all in the backs to date. And people are trying to work out, well, is this here to stay or is it because of the new bonus point rules? But it's very difficult to work out where you should spend your money. And someone comes along who shows a bit of promise in that eight range and people just jump on him, I think, and that's what's happened. Mm. I mean, if you look at the highest points, you know, you got Kolarov and Sagner and company all in the 40s. And in the forwards, you got Wilson, 37, Ighalo, 34, Pelé, 32. They're all 10 points behind, but none of them are very expensive.
No, you know, because
it's like, it's difficult. Yeah. And so people are trying to justify having Aguero at 13 and then sort of pairing him up with some middle price players, and then Martial comes along and everyone just absolutely jumps
just
on him.
Tears,
I mean, he
up
does
the plan.
Look good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I've got him. I've got him in.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well done.
I've got him in. No, I just think I mean, his stats are terrible. But I watched, I think I watched the Liverpool game, and this is just, I've just got him on pure eye, on a pure old school traditional scout type of trade, and he just looks really good. He just looks good.
And I mean, there's a case for and a case against. So definitely. I think the case for is that, you know, he's got to be played because he had so much pace with Depay.
Yeah, and Rooney's just lost.
Rooney and Mata are not quick. No. I mean, Rooney's just becoming a plodder.
Yeah.
Mata's not quick, but he's smart and he plays well with quick players, I reckon.
Yeah. I think that partnership will flourish.
Yeah, but I think it's not great fixtures coming up.
And the fee, I think I've got him in for this Sunderland fixture. And I'll reassess. I'm not even afraid to get rid of him next week. It's just, you know, it's as you said, you're looking for those mismatches, and it just seems like it's made in heaven. But there's been a few fixtures this season where I've thought, oh, made in heaven, awesome. I'll captain this dude, and he just does absolutely nothing. I can just see that happening, and everyone's going to be laughing at all of the new Martial owners, but.
If you bring him in, you're going to have to captain him, Will.
I will. I definitely will. But yeah,
I guess the other thing is, you know, long term, he is only 19. He'll have to be managed. He's kind of like Sterling was, last year or the year before, where he'll just have to be managed well. Mm. You know, again, I think he's had 3 goals from 4 shots. He's one of those guys that just.
Yeah, three shots on target, 3 goals.
Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, I am worried. I think a lot of active players have brought him in this week. I think they've, like yourself, they've had a look at him. He's the right guy in the right time, playing the right team, the Black Cats, and they're going to whack the C on him. And I think I'm going to be really hurt if that happens.
it's going to be really interesting.
I'd
be scared not to have him. But yeah, there's a lot of reasons not to get him as well. Alright, so that's part one. Let's move on to part two. So let's look at, we'll look at the bandwagons and we'll try and move this on.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick.
Well, he's the main bandwagon, isn't he? I mean.
Yeah, he's the main one. Mm.
Well, Payet. He's number two, isn't he, I think, from memory, that's been transferred in this week?
Yeah, he should be. Yep. I'm just sorting him out. Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it's all about Martial.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Payet, Payet's in my team. You know, I'm happy I needed someone around that price. I kind of agree with you. He's the sort of guy, I mean, he's jagged a couple of goals, which really helps, but he's not, I don't see him really as a goal scorer. I see him more of an assist kind of guy, so he's a little bit limited.
He's a creative midfielder. I think with West Ham, I think of all the teams that have started really well, of those like middle type teams, West Ham are the team that are going to regress hard. I've got there's this model here they look at. It's called expected goals, and it's by a fellow named Paul Riley. And what he does, he looks at every single shot from every team from this season, and he gives each shot a ranking from 0 to 1, 1 being a goal, 0 being nothing. And he gives all these shots a ranking, and he looks at expected goals, and he gives each team a number. And of those teams that have scored a lot, but like shouldn't have scored a lot, West Ham's the biggest outlier. Like they are. I don't like using the word lucky, but that their attacking outputs is the most unsustainable of those teams. And I think Payet is one of the big determiners for that, because he's taken like same as Martial, he's taken like 3 shots or 2 shots, and he's scored 2 goals. But that's the big thing. So I'm almost contradicting myself here with the Payet Martial thing. The thing is, if I still had my 2 free trades and Silva, it turns out Silva is out, I probably would have traded Silva to Payet and then brought in Martial that way. But yeah, with Payet, I would probably bring him in, but just be prepared that he's not going to score a goal every game. Now, he might get an assist every two games or something like that. But saying that, I watched him play and he looks really good too. Like, the way he moves, you know, in the middle third and in the final third, like, he really takes games by the scruff of their necks. And he does look like a really, really fantastic player. He seems like a player that should almost be playing, like, in a top four team. So, and he was always sort of touted as being that type of player. Like, he starts for France. He's one of the creative hubs for, you know, the French national team. How West Ham convinced him to go there and play for them. It must have been, like, big money. Like, at least 80,000 a week, pounds a week. And, yeah, like, he's playing really well. So he's still a yes from me, but just don't expect the big points every week from him.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I mean, I made a move I kind of regret, but I had Shaqiri in, and I just got fed up with getting 2 points every week. And
yeah.
I just did a straight swap. I had other things I should have fixed, and it was probably fair to call it a rage trade. And I bought Payet in because I actually wildcarded in round three, and that's when I bought Shaqiri in. And I had Payet in all week. At the last minute, I swapped it over for Shaqiri, and I've regretted that ever since. So I did a rage trade and brought him back in.
Yeah.
Listen, his key passes, he's in the top six in the league for key passes per game. He's just behind Silva and Tadic and Hazard, Cazorla, Ozil. So he's in pretty exalted company there in terms of key passes. He's an assist machine, and I think he was in previous leagues.
Yeah, he has some crazy stat.
Bonus, but yeah, sorry.
He has some crazy stat. I think in the top five European leagues, he had the most key passes last season or something. So
we all
knew what he was going to do. But I honestly did not expect him to start scoring goals. There's another funny West Ham stat that really sort of alludes to the unsustainability, was that in the games that they've won, the first shot they have on target, they've scored. Like, and that's pretty amazing, but it's not crazy. Like, that's half repeatable. But the other stat is that the next shot on target they've had, they've scored again. Now that's a really amazing anomaly, and like that's not repeatable, so that's not going to happen. So there's all these things around West Ham where I think that they are going to regress. But I do like Payet, and as you said, he is the creative hub of West Ham. Like, he's pretty well their midfield. He's the attacking dimension of their midfield is Payet, and he looks really good. His acceleration is just fantastic. His movement on the ball, but technical skills is fantastic. So yeah, he's a yes. He's a yes from me.
Yeah, he's obviously a yes from me for now, and I hope he continues to produce. But he's one guy I'll probably upgrade at some point.
Yeah,
when I got the money.
And he balances your midfield out a little bit as well. So you've got your two big hitters. You've got Mahrez, then you've got Payet at that seven to eight range, and then you've got your budget midfield. So he really is a nice player that balances that midfield out.
Yeah, and when you're looking at that mid-price midfielder, he's not a bad. I mean, given the fixtures, which I think are pretty good for West Ham from memory. They've got Norwich at home, Sunderland away.
Oh yeah, their fixtures are awesome.
Palace away, or they've got Chelsea, but that's at home. They got Watford away, then Everton at home. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
and I think that the other guys in that area, in that sort of price area, do have some fixture problems. Like, obviously, you know, Barkley is kind of getting up towards seven, but Everton have a month of bad fixtures, as we've already discussed.
Yeah. Andre Ayew, they have wonky fixtures, Swansea.
Ayew, I've got Tadic. Gomez. I'm certainly not going to double up on Swansea.
No way. No.
Tadic is a guy I really like.
Yeah, under the radar. I liked him at the start of the season. He was in and out of the team last season. His stats are always good. I liked him, and a lot of people, like, on the different forums said, don't get him. And I didn't get him. Like, he hasn't performed particularly well this season, but there's been a few games when he's looked really good. I like Tadic as well. He's mercuriously talented. Like, he's probably, if you watch him, he's probably one of the most talented players in the league.
He's got the most crosses. He's had 37 crosses already. Yeah. So he was certainly one guy I considered for that. But I think he happened to be injured that week.
Yeah, and he's injured a lot too. He's injury prone, so that's a problem as well. And obviously Shaqiri, he would have been an annoying player to own. He's in that price bracket as well.
He looks so good.
Yeah, he's Shaqiri. He's just not getting the returns. Good. Yeah,
but just not producing the FPL numbers.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's move on to part three. So looking at the highly owned players. So everyone has got him. Should you make that defensive transfer or not? So I'll just sort my... How do we sort that out? Team selected by them, yeah? All right, cool. So let's look at keepers, Cech and Joe Hart. I have no idea. What did I say last week? I think I just... Cech, I don't know. What do you reckon?
I think...
Arsenal's fixtures.
Possibly, depending on how you're structured. Possibly. I mean, there's no other cheaper options into Arsenal defence unless you're going to go Gabriel at 4.9.
Mm.
And I don't know enough about, Mertesacker gets a lot of bad press and everyone makes fun of him, but he tends to find his way back into that starting side. Yep. Probably have to talk to an Arsenal expert, but Gabriel certainly, he's got a lot of game time. He's only 4.9, so he's dropped 0.1. I actually think that Arsenal will come good defensively. They're the sort of team that I think that can put on a clean sheet whenever they want to, but they're very attacking minded.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, it's just funny. Like, the people you talk to on different communities, like, no one's got him, but he's still at 31% ownership.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I just say no because I don't know. I mean, I think if most people will have a cheap rotation for the keepers, or they've got Begovic.
Yeah.
So I just think Begovic at 5 is better value, I guess.
Absolutely. And obviously, West Brom, with Mile at 4.6.
He's like a big hitter, isn't he?
Wow. Yeah, so Foster's the main keeper at West Brom, isn't he?
Yeah, so he's. I think his return date's just been postponed as well. So Michael will be there for a little longer.
I've actually got Butland and McCarthy. Oh, you do too, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. That's been pretty bad.
Yeah.
I was gonna get Michael and just some random non-playing keeper at the start of the season, but I didn't. I got Butland and he's annoying.
Yeah.
I just thought 4.5 Stoke defense. Defensive asset be good, but it's just done nothing. Right, defenders, Nathaniel Klein, Kolarov, and look at company. We'll look at those three. Klein.
I say no.
Yeah, why's that?
I think Liverpool's still sorting out how they want to play. I just haven't seen Klein do enough this season. Yeah. For me,
is there cheap? There was cheaper options with Gomez, isn't there? But he's
probably Gomez, out now. Stay away.
Yeah, he's probably
stay out. Away from Gomez. I think that experiment's going to be put on ice for a little while.
Yeah, looks like it.
What playing three at the back, and he doesn't fit into that system.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, all right. So I'd probably say, I think there's probably just better options at the same price. I guess. I mean. If you are getting him in as a defensive move, then you've seriously got no problems elsewhere, and that's not possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd probably say no as well. Next up is Kolarov. That's a yes, obviously.
Absolutely. And I've had him in since week one, and
yeah.
The only time he's failed me is when I captained him last week.
And oh no! Terrible. That's hopeful. That's so, I just yeah. a lot of sympathy. That's pretty bad.
I captained another rage trade there, but I kept my cool.
No, to keep, yeah. I mean, Clichy's out for so long, and Kolarov, he's just a machine. Like, he has a thunderous. I think it's his. Is he right footed? I can't remember. I think he's right footed.
I think he isn't he left.
He might, be left.
I distinctly remember him thundering one at a ridiculous angle through the keeper's legs. Might
be left, yeah.
On the left hand side,
yeah.
And
yeah, it's.
I think that was week one.
Yeah,
and he hasn't looked back from there.
No, he's incredible. He's an incredible player. And the next one is Company. If he's fit and you want to go double City at the back, then for sure go for it.
Yep.
And cool.
Is Company back yet? Or
I can tell. I was thinking. I thought he was, but he's still yellow flagged here.
I saw an article saying that they're hoping to get Company and Silver back this week.
Yeah.
As you said, like gold.com's got Silver out. Company
yeah.
could be back. Man City just don't look the same without Company. He started on fire. Again, you've got to sort of ignore the goals. But I think the City, you've got to have some kind of City asset. I don't know whether you double up on Kolarov and Company.
I think if... With the way City were playing, I thought that you need a sort of double City attack because it's such a minefield and they've got to share points. It's just good to spread the risk. I don't mind double at the back. I mean, it's worked so far. Like, it would have worked so far, but is it going to work from now on? Probably not. They'll probably start leaking goals.
I guess it depends where you want your other City assets. I mean, I started off with Kolarov, Silva and Aguero, and... I would have been better off having double City defence and no Aguero.
You can't. The hindsight's great. Yeah, it's good. You know, you can't. Actually, I've got Aguero, Silva and Kolarov now. And, yeah, that hasn't worked too well the past couple of weeks. Silva's been injured. He's been fit and he's been pulling out, and then Aguero hasn't done much. It's just so much of my budget wasted. I've got those two, Pedro and Sanchez, and... It's just so much of the budget, and they've done, like, last week, Aguero got an assist, Silva got injured, Pedro did nothing, Sanchez did nothing.
Yeah.
It's just, and I somehow managed to get a green arrow, I don't know how.
So anyway. You've got Pedro, Aguero, Silva...
Sanchez.
And Sanchez.
Mm.
And you must have a team of 4.5s after that.
I've got, who have I got? Mahrez, Wilson, Martial, and Sermon. That completes Andrew Sermon. That completes the front eight. So yeah. I regret this week to bring in Martial. I downgraded Darmian from Man United, which I kind of regret doing. But I don't think he's entirely nailed on now. He was taken off at half time on the weekend, and Van Hull criticised him.
Yeah.
So I took him out. I know against a Sunderland team, which I probably get a clean sheet against, but I brought in Johnny Evans from West Brom, and that gave me the cash to upgrade Badafemi Gomez to Martial. So they, I know they're not very good trades, but I just wanted Martial in for this week.
I think it's solid. Like, Evans is not going to stay at 4.8, so you're going to get good price growth there.
I think so.
Manchester, yeah, okay, so they've got... United have a good game this week. That's why everyone's jumped on Martial, but, you know, it gets really mixed after that.
Yep, and they, Arsenal, like...
Everton,
they've City. Started they've started leaking goals as well.
Yeah.
Conceding two against... in a good Southampton team. Like, that. They should have shut up shop against Southampton, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, again, they're another good team still sorting out their defence. You know, they've got Daley Blind playing centre back.
Not his usual position.
There's talk of him moving over to left back. They're trying. Obviously Luke Shaw broke his leg. They got Rojo over on the left now.
Oh, he's out. He's out this week as well.
Oh, is he? Right. Mm. Okay.
So that's interesting. Yeah. So that will probably force Blind to go to the left then, because Phil Jones is back.
Oh, okay. So Jones will come back and he'll go left back.
That makes... I think he's back or he's fit or something, but yeah, so there you go. So that will probably happen. All right, let's move on to midfielder. So Mahrez, we don't have to talk about him.
Must have.
Yep. Yaya Toure at 34.5%. So that's pretty interesting. I think he's probably... if Silva's not fit, I'd consider bringing him in as a defensive transfer. But for me, I'd probably just go De Bruyne instead as a differential.
Yeah.
I think that's probably just my take on it. He took seven in the game against, who did they play last? West Ham. Against West Ham, he took seven shots, and five of those shots were in the box. So that was a monster game from statistically. It's a real surprise he didn't score, because when he takes shots, he scores. I like him as a player, and that's probably a yes from me. If you've got nothing to do and you want a defensive transfer to cancel out your other players in your mini league, then I'd bring him in, I think.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, I did see that stat. There was two shots on goal out of seven, and he won 10 of 21 duels. And, he really... the thing with Yaya is he started at 8.5. He shot up to 9 on the back of a 3 scoring weeks where he had, clean sheet and bonus points and a couple of assists, and he had 2 goals in the first week. And then he's got 3 points, 2 points, 2 points. Mm. So he's kind of inflated at 9. I think with the extra million, he's not going to slot into that. Silva's not fit. De Bruyne's going to come into that number 10 slot. And Yaya's always going to play in that kind of double pivot further back.
Yeah.
And that may limit his output. But then again, he's such a beast. He's box to box, isn't he? And he tends to dribble through about 8 people and score just to throw that fury out the window. At 9, he's touch and go. I'd be trying to reach for De Bruyne at 10.
Yeah. Yep, same here. All right, Hazard. This is pretty interesting. Look, we've spoken about Hazard already. I'd probably hold off, I guess, I think. I don't trust him yet. He's certainly not essential. There's only one essential player in the game at the moment, in my opinion, that's Mahrez.
Yeah.
And once upon a time, I'd say Hazard would be essential, but I wouldn't say he is now. So, actually, I'd probably say no. Actually, I'll give a no to Torre. I don't think he's essential. I think you can get away with getting his points and potentially more from other players like De Bruyne. And with Hazard, I think that's possible with Pedro as well. I think you can get Pedro instead and beat Hazard's points and potentially get more. So
I've got Pedro. I started off the season with Hazard, and I've gone down to Pedro to save the cash. Yeah. Hazard scares me. I mean, 30% ownership. There's no doubt he'll go berserk at some point, and he's going to really hurt with a third of all players having him in the team. He's probably one of three or four players that really scare me in terms of moving up the leagues. Probably Hazard. I think Martial this week is terrifying me.
Yeah.
And I am worried about Sanchez, although Sanchez much lower ownership at 12.9%.
Yeah, his is very big. And see, that's I'm holding him because of that. Yeah. Like, that's one reason I'm holding him, because he has that's not big ownership, and he has the potential to explode, but I don't know when it's going to happen.
He's got the most shots out of anyone, I think, in the whole league.
It's
33. It's daylight second. Maybe Coutinho, but Coutinho shoots from halfway, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's right.
So
at least Sanchez's shots are sort of half inside the box.
Yeah, but he will go nuts. Hazard, there's no doubt he'll go nuts.
He'll go nuts. Yeah.
I'm not doubling up. I'm pretty happy with Pedro for now. I'm pretty happy with his output.
I'm happy with Pedro, and he looked the game against. Who'd they play against? Arsenal. Like I thought he looked better than Hazard. It wasn't until Gabriel got sent off and Cazorla got sent off that Hazard, he started to look good. Before then, he was pretty well nullified. He was marked.
Yeah, but against 9 players, that doesn't count, right?
I can't. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So.
And his goal was arsey.
And his I can't.
Literally, it was off Callum Wilson's arse. So
they're usually pretty good FPL towers with that. They give him the goal and then they'll talk about it and they'll redistribute the points. But they didn't do that this time. And to us non owners, it's a bad thing. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know if, what the official.
I don't know.
In the FPL, they've given the goal to Hazard, but yeah. I've been on plenty of sites where it's been
own goal,
an own goal to Wilson. So a weird one.
Yeah, it was weird. Okay, all right. Let's move on to highly owned forwards. Aguero still highly owned, and Callum Wilson. So yeah, have you got Aguero at the moment?
I've got both.
And yeah, so don't I. Yeah.
So, you know,
you can't not
I've got Aguero, Wilson, and Gomez up front.
Yeah.
They are the three. I mean, take Benteke out.
Yeah.
It's dead now. But Gomez is. Gomez has started off really well. These three fixtures that Swansea are going through are always going to be pretty tough for them. So I've still got
You're holding
faith in him. Yep. If he doesn't score in the next month, significantly, I'll probably try to switch into Lukaku when Everton's fixtures free up.
Yeah.
But I've got my own Marshall as well. So it's a tough one. I mean, Aguero, another guy who, if you didn't have him, he's going to scare you because at some point he's going to burn you.
Yeah. And he's playing Tottenham this weekend. He scored the four goals.
But he looks so bad at the moment. Like he's missing. Yeah. He couldn't hit a house at the moment. Mm. I don't know. I mean, it'd be good to discuss captain's choices at the end of this at some point because, I mean, for me, I always feel like you've got to captain one of your big hitters.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why do you have them?
Mm.
You've paid a lot of money for them to score, so then you should back your judgment and put the captain on him. But
we've got Martial this week, don't we?
Difficult, mm. Yeah. So, I've got him. I'll probably stick on to him. Yeah. But, yeah, not happy.
All right, cool. All right, let's move on to part four. So we'll wrap it up with this one, I think. We'll do part four and part five. So part four is differentials, part five is clean sheets, and then we'll wrap it up there. So my differential pick this week is definitely KDB. Yep. I think you can't look past him at 3.5%. He looks good. He's such a good player. You just have to look at like some of his YouTube videos from Wolfsburg and he is just so talented. He just has everything. He's creative. He has threat. He's such a direct player, which is fantastic for the Premier League. He's clinical. He has such great shot technique. And there's just nothing. There's nothing that's bad about him. And at 10 million, he's an easy swap from Silva to him. And yeah, I think he will get returns. If he doesn't get returns, it'd be very strange this week because they're playing Spurs. Spurs are a bit. I think they're still a bit all over the shop defensively. I think they keep clean sheets when they feel like it, but they're a funny team, and I think. Well, I hope City put them to the sword because I've got Aguero, and I think they will. So here's my differential for the week.
Yeah, great call. I agree. If I had a trade, I'd swap out Silva and put KDB in. My only one reservation. He's expensive and he's new, but
he's overpriced. He's
feels like a duck to water, really. But
my
only one reservation is I haven't seen how they line up with Silva back in the side. So does he move out sort of a bit wider on the right, and does Navas get dropped? I'm not a fan of Navas. I think he put in about 30 crosses, of which
connects one.
29 hit the first defender on the weekend.
Mm.
So I think that I would like to see how they line up. Silva, Sterling. I mean, it's an awesome side at full strength, isn't it? Silva, Sterling, KDB, Aguero, Kolarov, company, etc. I mean, it's got to be one of the best sides ever assembled in the EPL. Fully fit.
You'd have to think Navas would get dropped, but the same token, I mean, as annoying as he is, Navas does provide width more so than what Sterling does.
Yeah.
And but you'd have to think there's no way he could play Navas over KDB. You have to think KDB will start on the right, and then they'd almost play like a fluid. Like a fluid triangle or whatever, him and Silva, and they're just rotate amongst. I think the Sterling would sort of stay out on the left and drift into the half space where I think Silver and KDB will. If they did share those positions and sort of drift in and out, they probably will share the point.
Yeah,
I would be almost inclined to say that because KDB is a little bit more direct in his style, he probably will score more goals than Silva. And we know goals are worth more points than what assists are. We know that Silva is an assists type player, but yeah. We still don't know that. It's not. We haven't got any objective evidence in terms of that. So, yeah, I'd have to agree.
No, I don't think it can go wrong with both. It was just a minor reservation.
Yeah.
Haven't seen them together, but they're all class there. And if anything, you could argue that Silva coming back, as you say, will make him even more potent.
Yeah, and that's right. That's right. It could have that effect. Okay, so
I've got a couple of weird little alternatives for you.
Yep, awesome.
I'll just fly through them. Sure. I won't. But three of them are keepers. You know, obviously, Myhill is only 7.3% ownership, and he's leading the keeping.
Yeah.
Gomes at Watford's only 4.5.
Yeah.
He's up to 32 points already, which is 10 more than Hazard.
Yeah, he's a good pick.
At Watford seem to have a pretty good defence.
They do, yeah.
And Begovic, you know, we mentioned him before. He's the Chelsea keeper.
What's his ownership?
Courtois had a knee operation, probably not back to the end of the year.
Yeah.
2% ownership, wow. Great fixtures, 5.0 entry into Chelsea defence.
That's insane.
Finally, Son at Tottenham. He looked great, but, you know, Tottenham do have up and down fixtures, but he's one to keep an eye on. I think he looked quality.
Yeah, he's a good player. He comes with a big pedigree from the Bundesliga.
Absolutely, mate. Who are you going to captain this week? Just quickly,
Martial.
Yeah. So have to. Advice for me, Pedro or Payet
as captain. Who's West Ham got? Norwich. I'll just have a look at their numbers quick. They're pretty bad.
They're bad.
So yeah, not great. So, and West Ham are at home. It's just, I mean, this is just like a funny little weird anecdote. Apart from the Newcastle game, in any team that West Ham have played, they played Bournemouth, and who else did they play and they lost to? Someone. I can't remember. They lost. And Payet didn't do anything, I don't think.
Yeah.
I'd captain Pedro, probably.
Pedro, yeah. Aguero is the other option.
Chelsea against Newcastle. Actually, Newcastle are my team. I support Newcastle.
Yeah.
And they're so bad that I haven't watched them for a couple of weeks.
And is Steven Taylor in the middle of defence?
No, I think he's injured.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I'm not sure. I mean, that just goes to show how uninterested I am at the moment. No, he's red flagged. He's red flagged, so that's, yeah, I don't think he's playing. So it'll be Bemba and Colaccini in the middle. And I think Yan Mat is still a doubt as well. Not that he actually defends, but... No.
He's a midfielder. He's a midfielder. Hiding in the
guy. Yeah, that's right. Probably Pedro, I think. The chances are that he'll have to get something. But then it's Aguero.
It kills me not captaining Aguero. It really does. But until he shows a bit of form, I mean, I did Kolarov last week. What a shocker.
Disaster. You can't get any worse than that, so.
Yeah, my worst performing player, full stop, zero.
To captain him. That's insane. All right, let's get on to part five and the last part. Clean sheets, what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I think there's opportunities for a number of, you know, we've got Leicester, Arsenal. I think Arsenal may really smash Leicester. I've just got a funny feeling that they're kind of due. They'll be angry after last week.
Clean sheet for Arsenal.
Yeah, I just think they're going to smash Leicester. It's a long ball game versus a short ball game, that one.
Yeah, Leicester are pretty counter. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It'll depend on how much Leicester sort of sit back and counter. But you know, I think Arsenal looking good, clean sheet. Depends on our boy Mahrez, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. If there's a game where he's not going to score, you know, it'd be this one.
Yeah.
Against an angry Arsenal team. Yeah, that's right.
I will not be captaining Mahrez, that's for sure.
No.
Liverpool, Aston Villa. What do you think? I mean, Aston Villa are pretty atrocious.
No clean sheets. I think they'll both concede.
I believe so as well. Liverpool, didn't they go to penalties? They went to penalties yesterday.
Was it Carlisle?
Against Carlisle.
And they struggled. They struggled in the penalties. They were like, they'll concede.
I don't think Liverpool are going to turn around until there's a change in coach. You know, they concede against Norwich at home as well. I think Villa are better than, obviously, against Carlisle. And I think they're better than Norwich. So I think Liverpool concede.
Yeah. Do you like Brendan Rodgers? No.
I think he got caught out the year after Suarez left, which was basically last year, was it?
Last year.
He just didn't adapt. Just didn't adapt quick enough. It was just obviously he lost a key player, and then you can't help but think that player was was it. You know, it hasn't helped that, you know, with injuries, Sturridge. I mean, Henderson's a nightmare, but
Sturridge, he's injured for so much.
He's just reaching Francis at the moment.
Yeah. all right. United and Sunderland. They look good for a clean sheet, you think?
Yeah, I reckon United will clean sheet that.
So, and I got rid of Darmian, which is just doesn't make any sense. I honestly think Darmian won't. I don't think he's nailed on.
Might not play. Yeah,
I think because Valencia came on, and because Darmian was getting ripped to shreds by Tadic, and then Van Gaal brought on Valencia for him, and he played well. Tadic was nullified for the rest of the game, so I don't think he's nailed on. But yeah, I think United will keep a clean sheet there.
Yeah, that'll be 8-0, and Martial will score 4. Having captain, and I don't have him.
That'll be good. I need something. We both need something. All right, Southampton, Swansea. I think Southampton will get a clean sheet here.
Yeah, quite possibly. I see goals in this game. Yeah. I like watching both these teams.
They're good to watch, yeah.
I mean, Swansea-Everton was a pretty good nil or draw last week, and I see goals. Southampton at home, I think, will win, but I think that Swansea are due.
What do you reckon, 2-1?
Yeah, say 2 or 3-1.
Cool. All right, Stoke, Bournemouth, no clean sheets here.
Yeah, I won't be watching that one, I don't think.
Stoke just looked
Wilson's
terrible.
Playing for me, but I see both teams scoring.
Yeah, cool. All right, West Ham, Norwich.
I think West Ham are a good chance for a clean. I mean, it depends which West Ham turns up.
Yeah, whether it's the one that smashes top four teams, one that loses to shit teams, yeah.
Yeah, so quite possibly they could get pumped 4-0.
They could.
I think they'll have a clean sheet.
Cool. All right. Newcastle, Chelsea clean sheet. We don't have to even talk about that. Watford, Palace, Crystal Palace. This is interesting. Crystal Palace score goals. Don't keep clean sheets. Watford don't really score goals, but they sort of have started scoring, but they keep clean sheets.
They do at home, don't they? I don't think they've conceded at home yet, have they?
I think you might be right. Yep, I think I read that today somewhere. Yep, I think you're right.
So I think there'll be goals in this game.
Yeah, no clean sheets. Crystal Palace are fantastic attacking-wise.
Yeah, they do. They need to be playing with a striker, and I think they've had Balassi up front.
He's not a striker.
Once they get Wickham back, I know Wickham's not a big goal scorer, but he's a big weapon. You know, he's a big body up there.
He's a unit.
All the other guys run off him.
He's a massive man. He's huge.
Yeah, so I think they need him up. If he plays, I think Crystal Palace score. Maybe not him, but someone does. Watford, you know, they've got Ighalo.
Yeah.
He's just five. Yeah. There's another guy who's had, like, you know, five shots and five goals or whatever. Yeah. But he, he's, you know, they look pretty bright, I think. I think they'll score at home.
Yeah, he looks good. I'm going to say Watford clean sheet for that one.
Okay.
I think with just the Crystal Palace not scoring against Spurs, I just think the confidence is going to be down. Nothing statistical about that one. That's just a little anecdote just threw in there. All right, and that leaves us with West Brom and Everton. I think West Brom will keep the clean sheet here. I think Everton will... they'll just sort of similar pattern to West Ham, play good against the big teams, do bad against the shit... Well, the not-so-good teams. I think Brom will keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, hard one. It's either going to be a West Brom clean sheet or it's going to be low scoring, I think. One all.
Yeah.
Cool. But, yeah, every chance of a clean.
Rightio. Cool, so that wraps up our show for today. So who so you're thinking about captaining Pedro or Aguero?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go Pedro.
Pedro, yeah. All right.
After getting the inside story on Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Well, who knows? Like, remember last season, we were going into a Chelsea match just looking terrible as well. We ended up winning 2-1. So, but that was with Pardew, and he seems to know a bit. Whereas I think McLaren knows a bit as well, but he hasn't sort of shown that yet at all. So, all right. So that wraps up episode for today. So, thanks for the chat, Bakes. It's been a good show, I think. Well done.
No worries, Will. Yeah, it's been fun. So yeah, good luck on the weekend, and you know, we'll exchange a few text messages and see how things go.
Sure, no worries, mate. Catch up.
Okay, cheers.